Start Again, Not Over was founded by Dr. Leticia Jimenez, a leading local empowerment coach in Ventura County. Dr. Leticia Jimenez works with men and women who are struggling to remember their true authentic self and purpose. Divorce, career changes, loss of a loved one, a sudden illness, and other personal and professional challenges keep many of us from moving forward. Start again, not over. Revive your true authentic self and start living a life of meaning, happiness, and fulfillment. Visit startagainnotover.com and sign up to receive your free 30-minute coaching session with Dr. Leticia Jimenez. Join the Sano movement and start living the life you were meant to live. Rubicon Theater Company presents Taking Sides by Academy Award-winning writer Sir Ronald Harwood. Directed by Ovation Award winner Stephanie A. Coltrane, the cast features returning Rubicon artists Peter Van Norden, Patrick Vest, and Silen Brown, with Adrian Sparks, Tara Donovan, and Vivian Latham. Don't miss this compelling play that explores what happens when art and politics collide. Taking Sides runs Wednesdays through Sundays until November 12th. For tickets, call 805-667-2900, 667-2900, or go to RubiconTheater.org.
Diana J. Anthony of Big Rich Realty and Bolt Equities Incorporated is a hardworking broker. With 23 years of experience in Ventura County, from Westlake to Carpinteria, experience isn't expensive, it's priceless. Diana started her real estate career in Hawaii and then in Malibu. Her specialties are educating buyers and sellers about the pitfalls in this ever-changing market. Additionally, she has extensive experience with short sale transactions, foreclosures, commercial, and investment property. When you hire Diana, you will be gaining a friend for life with a heart of gold and a world of knowledge. Visit her website, dianajanthony.net, or call 805-340-6135. That's 805-340-6135. California BRE 01190308.
Let's get it started in here.
Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now, here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Welcome, welcome back, everyone, and welcome to the Kim Pagano Show. If you're just tuning in with us, we are on our second hour. Just want to remind you that we are here from 6 to 8 every Saturday morning. I'm Kim. I'm here with...
John Blystone.
There you go. All right. And, of course, I know it's Veterans Weekend, I would say. So there's a couple things that I would love to share with you. One, happy Veterans Day, and a big thank you to all of our participators and all of our soldiers and anybody that really makes a difference in our world. We are so grateful to be a part of having you and your families do this for us. And one of the things that we wanted to share, Hometown's doing.
Hometown Buffet is honoring all those who have served, retired or active, to come in on November 13th, which is Monday, from 11 to 8, and you will receive a free buffet and drink for being a veteran, and it's their way of saying thank you. And, you know, I think you can do this on any day.
No.
That's one of the coolest things to do is buy them a meal.
There you
Unbelievable.
Go.
Unbelievable. When you see the hat. Or,
what a good idea. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
All right.
And I did find a quote. That
okay,
I
please.
I think this is really amazing. Our flag does not fly because the wind moves it. It flies with the last breath of each soldier who died protecting it.
I love that. I love that. Thank you, John. I appreciate that. Well, for anybody that's just tuning in, we'd love to hear from our listeners. Our phone number here is 805-419-0008, 419-0008. We'd love to give back. We'd love to hear from you. We want to be a part of anything that you're doing out there. We've got lots of events that we have, and again, we're so grateful that you're here. I love to start our show with something uplifting. When the power of love overcomes the love of power, the world will know peace. That's really what we're working towards. So again, for anybody that's just tuning in, our first guest this morning joining us is Candace Hutching. Hutchings and her book. I can't wait to hear her and talk with her. And of course, it's The Edgy Veg. We're going to talk with her. And then we've got Timothy Smith talking. Actually, I'm sorry, we had a change in that.
Sharon Rogers, isn't it?
Was that okay? Okay.
Sarah Rogers is going to be Sarah Rogers.
Okay, thank you guys. See, I just love when you guys are all here. So, yeah, we've got that. Sarah, and we're, like you said, it's going to be interesting. It's called The Sectionary. And so we should find out a little bit about that. And then Carlene Strange, and her book is The Spiritual Nature of Animals. I love that. Animals are just so calming. There's something, you know, I don't know, we need to learn from our animals. So with that, Tommy, you want to talk about some of our great giveaways?
Yes, we do have Rubicon Theater. Their presentation of Taking Sides runs through this weekend. We can still get you in with some great tickets. Rubio's, the original fish taco. Their mission is to serve coastal food that you can feel great about eating. Delicious, delightful, located in Ventura. California Kettle Corn 2, high-quality kernels, hand-popped and homemade. You can get it logoed with your company, club, whatever design you want, you can get that from California Kettle Corn. Los Angeles Zoo tickets. If you want more information, www.lazoo.org. And finally, Pete's Breakfast House, serving the best breakfast in town. You will find them at 2055 East Main Street, Ventura.
All right. Well, I do want to start off with a couple giveaways. And let's start off with some Pete's Breakfast. If you've ever eaten at Pete's, I don't know, it's just starting to get a little colder, and it's like nice time to go get a nice breakfast, and they do it really well there. So, of course, call in right now at 805-419-0008, 419-0008. And let's bring our first guest on. Candace, are you there?
I am.
How are
you? Hi, thanks so much for having me. I'm good.
So thank you for joining us, and I love your book. Tell us a little bit about yourself. And there's something about pictures. I don't know why. I just, you know, it's like pictures tell a million words. I'm looking at this famous edgy veg fried chicken. Obviously, it's not really chicken, correct?
No, it's not. So the fried chicken is actually made out of a very common meat substitute called seitan. It's made out of vital wheat gluten. And we just, you know, we season it and we fry it the same way that you would normal fried chicken. Just, this is our vegan take on it.
No bones.
Wow. How long have you been a vegan?
I've been vegan about 8 years.
Wow. Okay. And just for my listeners, what does that mean exactly?
So being vegan means that I abstain from using any animal product and any animal byproduct. Now, I didn't do this right away, and some people do it more of a plant-based, which is, you know, you abstain from eating meat, cheese, dairy, eggs, and then vegan means you also refrain from using leather and any animal byproduct materials as well.
Did you say leather?
Yes.
How would you eat leather?
No, use.
From using leather.
Oh, using. Okay, okay, got it. I was like, wait a minute, did I miss something here? Okay, got it. Okay, so, okay, and now are you full blown?
I am full blown.
Okay.
It was a journey to get here, but I am full blown now.
Wow, that's interesting. So what do you most want people to learn or take away from your book?
For me, the most important thing is just to open the eyes of the average person. In the vegan community, I find that we are living in our own bubble. And there's a lot of negativity in the vegan community when it comes to meat eaters, for example. And the whole point of the book is to bridge that divide. So when I first went vegan, I found that a lot of my family and friends were cooking separate meals for me, or were under this impression that vegan food was boring. And so this cookbook is both for vegans, but also non-vegans, so that they can make anything from this book, and no matter what your dietary preference is, you will enjoy it.
Okay.
So that's the point.
I like it. Tell me a little bit about your life and how you got started and you know, what you do besides write your books.
Yeah, absolutely. So, like I said, I got started being vegan 8 years ago, and it started off as a thing for health reasons. I had pretty terrible skin. I had, you know, rosacea and acne, and so I had a doctor suggest cutting dairy. And that worked really well. So I said, okay, well, what would happen if I cut animal protein altogether? And that completely changed my life. I lost a bunch of weight. My skin completely changed. And that's kind of when I said, okay, there's something to this. And in my, you know, journey of trying to find things to cook for myself, I learned two things. One of them is the broken animal agriculture system. And I could never...
What do you mean by that? Kind of.
So just the way that we treat the animals that we're consuming, the mass amounts of waste that are in the food chain when it comes to animal products, the amount of animals that we're slaughtering a year, the overconsumption, and the pollutants on the environment. So I learned that, and also the animal cruelty involved in a lot of those places.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also learned that there wasn't a lot of really delicious vegan food out there. I had a really hard time at first because this is 8 years ago. We didn't have a lot of substitutes out there for us that were really delicious and mocked our comfort foods that we grew up with. So that's when I decided to start learning how to cook and learning how to make my favorite food. So I started that with a blog first, and then at that time as well, we were turning to video. Video content became very popular. So I started my YouTube channel, which I've been doing since 2010, and then, our website as well.
And do you cook on your YouTube channel?
Pardon me?
Do you cook or just talk?
Both. Okay. So we have a lot of lifestyle content. We'll do grocery hauls, and I'll talk about, you know, my different tips and tricks to making your life more cruelty-free and compassionate and happy and eco-friendly. But then we also have really awesome copycat recipes for popular fast food and comfort foods as well.
Okay. And do you use a lot of cauliflower?
I do use a lot of cauliflower.
It just seems like that's like the one thing that everybody, you know, it's either a mashed potato or
thickener.
Even like a chicken, right? Like an orange chicken, the veggie grill. They have you ever had been there?
I have.
Yeah, so that's another great place that they do pretty good with, the edgy veg, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And we do have a lot of cauliflower recipes in the cookbook. We like to use it as a substitute for chicken. It makes sense. It's delicious. It has a similar texture. And really, I mean, a lot of dishes are vehicles for sauces, in my opinion.
Right. And what about even rice? Okay. I mean, that was one of the things. I did a portion control and she made rice with it. And that was before. Now you can just even they have it packaged that way. Right. But, she would grind it for us.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Cauliflower is a great substitute for many different things, making it whether it's gluten free, if you have that intolerant or you're just looking for that lifestyle, or even vegan and vegetarian.
Right. Yeah, like cauliflower I've used as a thickener in a soup.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
That's a good one. What is there another vegetable like that, like cauliflower, that you would use that people wouldn't think about?
I use eggplant a lot,
mm-hmm.
Which confuses some people. I find a lot of people have this kind of negative view on eggplant.
I you know what? It's so funny. You must have just saw my face because I have it in my garden, but I don't get it, you know?
A lot of people just don't know how to prepare it. They're afraid of it. It looks weird, raw. It tastes really bizarre.
So how do you prepare it or give us some tips on that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I use it twice in the book, I think, maybe more. One is for a bacon. So what I do is I marinate it in a combination of tamari and maple syrup and some nutritional yeast and some liquid smoke. And then we dehydrate it in the oven, and you get a jerky-like bacon flavor, which is really delicious. And it takes the salt will take out some of that bitterness that mm-hmm. a lot of us kind of think about when we think of eggplant.
Mm-hmm.
And the other way I've used it is as a veal substitute in an Italian sandwich. So bread it, deep fry it, throw some vegan cheese on there, and put it into a sandwich, and it's delicious.
Mm. Yummy. I'm looking at your picture right now. I'm looking at your Brussels sprouts that don't suck. Do you like Brussels sprouts?
I'm not a big fan. I just had some the other night at a dinner, and they prepared them fantastic.
Really good. Oh, yeah. My husband loves them. I was not very fond of him. Of course, now it's like if we're going to order something, he'll be like, oh, we'll take that. And I'm like, sure, we will. I think I've acquired a taste. I don't know if you can do that, but I actually have acquired. I kind of like, okay, if they're, you know, a little balsamic or, you know, some other stuff. But give us a little bit of your, you have a garlicky oil, right, that you actually put them in.
Yes, and with Brussels sprouts, I mean, I really wanted to make this cookbook family-friendly as well, and what's one of the hardest things for parents to get their kids to eat? Well, it's Brussels sprouts.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, again, it's the problem is most people don't know how to prepare it properly. So with this, we roasted it in the oven. Any vegetable in the oven is delicious. Anything that's roasted is delicious.
That's a good idea, yeah. Even like broccoli, right? You can just put some kosher salt on it and a little olive oil and put it in the oven and voila, right?
Exactly. So with the Brussels sprouts, we pretty much did the same thing. We just added lots of garlic and a little bit of salt, and we get the same result. It's garlicky. It's delicious. It's roasted. The olive oil adds a really nice carrier for the flavor, and kids love it.
How did you learn to cook?
I am completely self-taught, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up cooking with my grandmother. She was an insatiable foodie, and I always loved and cooking with her. And then when I decided to be vegan and then found out that there wasn't really anything out there, I took the textbooks, French culinary textbooks, etc., and taught myself how to cook and just experimented a lot and had many, many fails along the way.
Well, that's how you do it, though. I'm enjoying listening to you. I will tell you that the people I know that are vegan, I call them militant vegans because it's almost like this my way or the highway kind of thing. And
there's a little joke that my son's girlfriends are, and they always say, and then I met a client that we ate lunch and she said, and she actually told me the joke. You always know a vegan or a vegetarian cause they'll tell you so.
Yeah, but
you know,
I mean, I understand my parents are going, they do something similar. They do incorporate chicken. Chicken's not a problem in fish, but you know,
none of the red meats. They never eat it.
But I think this is a cool thing because I am not vegan, but I think I could take this book and use some of the things that you have in there and create some pretty cool stuff.
Well, I love hearing that. And that was kind of the point of the book. We make fun of the vegan culture a lot in the book, and we make fun of ourselves and stereotypes because it can be a bit ridiculous. And for us, I mean, I'm not trying to make the world vegan. I don't think that's reasonable.
No, but you're giving people an option.
Exactly. So if you swap out like one, even two meals a week for a vegan option, then I'm happy.
There you go.
It just makes the world a more sustainable and cruelty-free place, and that's really the goal.
There you go. Candace, will you stay on with us? We need to take a really quick break, but I want to go through a couple more things in your book right now.
Absolutely.
You got it. All right. You are listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life, and actually just talking about, you know, eating and all that. The holidays are right around the corner, and sometimes that's a little stressful for our friends out there. And so Hometown Buffet has actually put together a holiday feast, and we're going to be giving some away to some of our people that, you know, our listeners out there that maybe just need this for their family, maybe just need a little bit of extra care out there. So, again, I'd love to share this. And, again, at any of your Hometown Buffets, they've got the holiday feast. So I'd love you to share that and check it out. All right, right now I'd love to give away some Rubicon tickets. And, of course, Taking Sides is the last weekend. If you haven't already been there, I'd love to get you there. So call in right now at 805-419-0008. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Rubicon Theater Company presents Taking Sides by Academy Award-winning writer Sir Ronald Harwood. Directed by Ovation Award winner Stephanie A. Coltrane, the cast features returning Rubicon artists Peter Van Norden, Patrick Vest, and Silan Brown, with Adrian Sparks, Tara Donovan, and Vivian Latham. Don't miss this compelling play that explores what happens when art and politics collide. Taking Sides runs Wednesdays through Sundays until November 12th. For tickets, call 805-667-2900, 667-2900, or go to RubiconTheater.org.
Are you looking for a graphic designer who can service all your business printing needs? Do you need a logo or layout for a new printout or digital marketing campaign? Where to Print offers the highest quality print and competitive pricing on apparel, banners, and stationery, including 1,000 business cards for $25. Where to Print is committed to supporting local nonprofits and paying forward their good fortune to help make a difference in the community. Visit www.wheretoprint.com. That's www.wheretoprint.com or call 866-612-3359 and mention Printing with a Purpose for your 10% discount today. If you didn't know where to print, now you know.
Diana J. Anthony of Big Rich Realty and Bolt Equities Incorporated is a hardworking broker with 23 years of experience in Ventura County from Westlake to Carpinteria. Experience isn't expensive, it's priceless. Diana started a real estate career in Hawaii and then in Malibu. Her specialties are educating buyers and sellers about the pitfalls in this ever-changing market. Additionally, she has extensive experience with short sale transactions, foreclosures, commercial, and investment property. When you hire Diana, you will be gaining a friend for life with a heart of gold and a world of knowledge. Visit her website, dianajanthony.net, or call 805-340-6135. That's 805-340-6135. California BRE 01190308.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for being here and joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show. I do want to remind you that we are here from 6 to 8 every Saturday. And you can download our podcast. And, of course, that is on iTunes/The Kim Pagano Show. Also, we've got a newsletter that goes out every single week. And we just want to keep you informed and let you know about all the great events that are happening and so that you could be a part of it. And also, if you have a great event happening or you have a business that you want to share here on the show with us, we'd love to tell your story and share what you do. So, John, I know you got a couple things that we want to share with everybody, right?
Yes. Coming up on Saturday, December 2nd from 12 to 8 is the Ventura Winter Wine Walk and Holiday Street Fair, which it sounds like it's got a little of everything.
Yeah, shopping and drinking.
On Main Street, vendors, live entertainment. Sounds fantastic. And this, the home for the homes for the holidays.
It's got shopping. It's a home tour, yeah, same thing.
The home tours, the pre-tour brunch with champagne.
That's
right. Manhattan. And so that's out in Pleasant Valley. And I know there's some amazing yards and houses out there.
Yeah, there you go.
To take a look at. And, of course, the Taking Sides at the Rubicon goes till Sunday, I think is the last day.
Yeah, this weekend.
And that's a fascinating,
there you go,
fascinating event.
So I would love to share those with you. We've got tickets, and I'd love to get somebody to the wine. Let's do the wine festival. So call in right now at 805-419-0008, 419-0008. All you have to do is leave us your name, your number, and your email, and one of the team members will get back with you. Right now we're talking with Candace Hutchings, and we're talking about her really cool book here, and of course it's The Edgy Veg. I love it. What is the 138 carnivore approved vegan recipes? What does that mean?
So my husband, when we first started dating, was a meat eater, and still is from time to time now. And so every recipe in the book is approved by someone that eats meat. Now, omnivore wasn't as funny as the term as carnivore, so we went with carnivore. So he's tested every single recipe along with family and friends that all eat meat and all eat cheese. And if they didn't give it the stamp of approval, it didn't go in the book.
I love it. Okay, that's pretty funny. So, so kind of give us a couple tips. We're in the holidays right now. What would be some that we could, you know, like obviously Thanksgiving is coming up, and I just turned on to the cutest little dog in your front page here. So, is that your dog?
It is. That's one of two.
Is that a Maltese?
It's a Shih Tzu, actually.
Oh, a Shih Tzu,
They're both rescues.
Okay, yeah. Very cute. So what would you, if somebody asks you to bring something and, you know, that to add to the Thanksgiving dinner, what would you bring?
I would probably bring the pumpkin sage soup.
I was looking at that.
It doesn't sound all that exciting.
It's hard for us to hear you, Candace. Can you get closer?
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
It's still a little bit hard.
Can you still hear me?
Yeah, much better right okay. now.
Perfect.
Okay.
I wonder if it's just cutting out. So the pumpkin sage soup, which, I mean, soup doesn't sound all that exciting, but this soup is full of flavor, and it also kind of sits alone as a main as well. And I think that's super important when you're thinking of vegetables at your Thanksgiving or Christmas meal or holiday dinner. To think about the vegetarians and the vegans that you might be inviting over, it's nice to have, you know, a couple vegetables on the side, but I feel like vegetables are often an afterthought. So, you know, bringing something that also sits as a main as well, like the soup, is a great idea. But then also the green beans and the Brussels sprouts are top notch.
Right. And what about, okay, so you have a green bean recipe?
I do.
What is your green bean recipe?
So the same type of idea as the Brussels sprouts. They're just blanched slightly, and then they are actually pan-fried in garlic, onions, and a little bit of olive oil and some salt. Just simple but delicious.
I love that. Okay, and I signed up for salad. What would you bring for a salad?
Ooh, I think I would bring the token kale salad because it's marinated in pesto.
Okay. So does everybody ask you to bring over, like, can you cook for us, please?
Oh, always, daily.
Yeah. So talk to us about, so the kale salad, that looks really good.
Yeah, so the dressing for that is a vegan version of a pesto. Uh-huh. Most people think just pesto on pasta or pizza, but it actually is a wonderful, wonderful idea as a salad dressing. And the oils in there and the lemon in there actually breaks down the kale. So the kale isn't tough and it's not too bitter and it's a lot easier on the digestive tract, which I think is the issue that a lot of people have with kale is that it's too bitter and too tough.
Mm-hmm. Mm, yummy. I see that you talk about veganism. What is that?
So veganism is just the lifestyle of vegan. So, you know, abstaining from using meats and cheeses, dairy, eggs, and any other animal byproducts.
Wow. And is your husband vegan?
We like to say he's about 90% vegan. So he is a business guy. He runs his own consulting agency. So he goes on a lot of client dinners. So once in a while, you don't want to, you know, insult the client. They'll take him to a steakhouse and he'll kind of eat what they buy him. But at home and when we travel together, he's completely vegan.
Okay. All right. So what's your goals? What's your next thing that you're going to be doing and kind of what's your future?
So we're looking at just manufacturing and producing some products, mm-hmm. Whether it's, you know, kitchen type things or also food products. So we are looking into doing a little bit of food manufacturing. And that's kind of, I mean, we have all these beautiful recipes and we want to share them with the world. And, you know, sometimes people don't want to cook. They'd like to have something made for them. So that's kind of what we're exploring next.
Mm. Have you thought about what are those services out there where they send you everything you need to make a meal?
Prepared.
I could see you doing that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's definitely on the list of things to consider. And that excites me a lot.
Yeah, and Candace, you talked about that when you did this, you lost a lot of weight, correct?
Yes.
A lot of this stuff is still fried, but it doesn't really matter.
I mean, when I first started going vegan, it's when we talk about the book, it's definitely a healthier version of the alternative.
Okay.
But we don't call it a healthy cookbook. It's more of an indulgent cookbook, but it's definitely healthier than the alternative that you would be having with red meat or pork, for example. But when I first went vegan, I was very strict and very healthy about it. And I lost a ton of weight. And now, though, even now eating, I pretty much eat whatever I want. I don't restrict myself. And I don't gain weight, which is pretty amazing.
Wow, I'm gonna go start this. So, well, I love it. Candace, thank you so much for being a guest here on our show. And please share our show with everyone. And I can't wait to make some of your meals. And keep in touch with us so that we can have you back.
Yep.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
You got it. All right. Thank you so much for sharing your passion with us. All right, we are actually just going to move right on over to Sarah Rogers, and this should be interesting. We're going to be talking about the sectionary, kind of like a dictionary, right? But the sectionary, is that,
mm-hmm.
or maybe you said it's not a couch,
it's not a couch.
Right? Okay, so Sarah, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Kim.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about yourself and of course, your book and who you are.
Well, my name is Sarah Rogers. I am very proudly an editor at Cleus Press. We are the oldest sexuality publisher in the United States. And I personally have been here for around 3 years now in various positions on the editorial staff. And the Cleus Press sectionary is just one of our most recent brainchildren.
Okay. And so tell us, for my listeners, is there like a zillion books and you guys just come out with different ones on different topics? Is that how it works?
Well, we produce a bevy of different books encompassing all of human sexuality, I guess would be a great way to say it.
Okay.
We do romance. We also do erotica. But we also have wonderful guidebooks, particularly an Ultimate Guide series. And the sectionary is particularly akin to that line.
So let's talk a little bit about your book. Who would use this book?
Honestly, anyone.
Okay.
Even the slightest bit sex positive. It's really one of those great books that you could always find an interesting use for.
Okay.
When we originally came up with the idea for it, we just started snowballing with ideas right off the bat. It could be used as, an icebreaker for a bachelorette party, a fun point of conversation, at a cocktail party, because it is written to be both entertaining and educational.
Okay.
So even, two partners could, crack it open, flip through a few pages, and maybe stumble upon a sexual preference that they had no idea they shared before.
Okay.
And, enliven their relationship and in and out of the bedroom.
Okay, perfect. And now, how did you track down every single word in the sex language? There's words in here I never heard of.
It's pretty varied. There certainly is a lot in here. And honestly, I think the most eye-catching component of it is all the different sexual fetishes. That was probably the most interesting component. Going from page to page is kind of amazing how many there are. And in researching the book, we just tried to be as all-encompassing and all-inclusive as possible. We actually worked with several editors on staff, and everyone was doing research, and we were coming together, finding terms. One discovery led to several other discoveries. And the great thing about this book is that all of these definitions, we try to be as all-inclusive as possible, not only in relation to the types of terms we covered, but how we chose to cover them. So as you go through, you will find that it's very gender neutral. We use the gender neutral pronouns as often as possible as they are applicable. And we're just trying to make it something that anyone could get into.
I know that there's, I'm reading this right now, from what you call a person who is only attracted to stomachs to, okay, and it's called an angry dragon?
Yes. that's just one of not so much the quirkier ones. I think a lot of these terms, if, one is open to, certain adult forms of entertainment, I think a lot of people will discover that, a fetish for stomachs or other fetishes in the book, they're actually more frequently used than not, or you may come across certain things at certain times, and I think a lot of these, they're just inherently ingrained in human sexuality, and it's just, I think a lot of the times we don't necessarily put a name to them because we don't understand that there is a name, and I think that's one of the more interesting components of the book.
Did this come around in a group? Were there people sitting around a table and researching? Yeah. And saying, how about this one? How about that one? Or,
Is there a book that you looked in to get these?
Yeah.
That's a good question, John.
Well, a lot of the books we do publish, especially the Ultimate Guidebooks that I had mentioned before, you know, touch on various topics relating to BDSM or foreplay or even human anatomy. And so we generally have a good base foundation and knowledge of it. And one day at a meeting, we were just talking about different potential book ideas, and someone threw out there, hey, there's no sex dictionary out there. And we realized that it could be something that could be incredibly useful and educational. And, you know, we just started from what we knew, and we took off from there.
Yeah, I could see that being at a bachelorette party. Like, everybody gets one of these and just go around and start reading them, and as the champagne goes down, it
Yeah, you exactly. definitely have
Take
to
a drink
be
for every
there. You go, yeah.
That issue participated.
No. Okay. And so, is everything at Kleist Press sexual?
For the most part, yes. However, it's not all sexual, like erotica sexual. We do publish several books that just explore human sexuality in a greater context, sometimes political, sometimes sociological. Two books that published relatively recently are The Transgender Teen and Transgender Child. And it's basically, they're two very useful handbooks for parents and professionals about how learning how to relate with children and teenagers who identify as transgender and how to help them along in their own self-discovery. We also have published, earlier this year we published a book called Lucky Jim about Jim Hart. He was a former husband of singer Carly Simon. And it was about his own personal journey in discovering his sexuality. You know, he realized he was gay when he was married to Carly, and the trials and tribulations of his life. It's really expertly written, very great story that tugs at your heartstrings. And on the opposite side of that, we actually just published a book called Furry Nation, The Story of America's Most Misunderstood Subculture. That is meant to dispel a lot of the myths and about the furry community. I don't know if you're familiar. and, you know, just teach people about how ingrained, you know, essentially anthropomorphism is ingrained into our culture, all the way from Disney, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the comics that kids and adults alike read. So it really runs the gamut.
Wow. Okay. Cool. I was looking through here. I was trying to find something that we could actually mention on our show here, and not so much. yeah. Is there anything that you would recommend?
Let's see. Going through. There's a couple terms I highlighted because we do have throughout the book. Several call-out sections, which just kind of explain a little bit more about some perhaps more interesting terms.
Mm-hmm.
One, for example, is hybristophilia, which is the sexual attraction to dangerous criminals, ones that have committed acts of rape, murder, or other capital offenses.
That's like the bad boy syndrome, totally, right?
Taken to an extreme.
That's like to an extreme. Exactly. Wow.
And it goes into a little bit more of a description after that, how, you know, it's actually a point of a lot of study, especially among psychologists, you know, trying to discern, you know, what drives people to have this very dangerous attraction. And I think quite often, if we think back and remember all the crime drama shows that we may or may not be addicted to, that, you know, quite often it can pop up, you know, in episodes here and there. And it's kind of like a darker side of, you know, the common culture in America.
I love it. Sarah, where do we find this book?
This book is available everywhere, from Amazon to Barnes & Noble to your local independent bookstores. They're also available direct through our website, and it's in both print and digital format, so you can read it how you like it.
You got it. All right. Awesome. I appreciate you being a guest here and sharing this here on the Kim Pagano Show. Please share our show with everyone.
Yes, thank you very much for having me.
You got it.
Thank you.
All right. We are going to take a really quick break. You are listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. When we come back, we will be talking with Carlene Strange. And, of course, we're going to be talking about the spiritual nature of animals. And, again, I'd love to give something away. And we have, how about some Rubio's? They're the original fish tacos. Just all their stuff is really good. So I'd love to share that with everyone. And again, call in right now at 805-419-0008, 419-0008. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
J. Anthony of Big Rich Realty and Bolt Equities Incorporated is a hardworking broker with 23 years of experience in Ventura County from Westlake to Carpinteria. Experience isn't expensive, it's priceless. Diana started her real estate career in Hawaii and then in Malibu. Her specialties are educating buyers and sellers about the pitfalls in this ever-changing market. Additionally, she has extensive experience with short sale transactions, foreclosures, commercial, and investment property. When you hire Diana, you will be gaining a friend for life with a heart of gold and a world of knowledge. Visit her website, dianajanthony.net, or call 805-340-6135. That's 805-340-6135. California BRE 0119-0308.
If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses. Or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs.
Start Again, Not Over was founded by Dr. Leticia Jimenez, a leading local empowerment coach in Ventura County. Dr. Leticia Jimenez works with men and women who are struggling to remember their true authentic self and purpose. Divorce, career changes, loss of a loved one, a sudden illness, and other personal and professional challenges keep many of us from moving forward. Start Again, Not Over. Revive your true authentic self and start living a life of meaning, happiness, and fulfillment. Visit startagainnotover.com and sign up to receive your free 30-minute coaching session with Dr. Leticia Jimenez. Join the Sano movement and start living the life you were meant to live. Rubicon Theater Company presents Taking Sides by Academy Award-winning writer Sir Ronald Harwood. Directed by Ovation Award winner Stephanie A. Coltrane, the cast features returning Rubicon artists Peter Van Norden, Patrick Vest, and Silen Brown, with Adrian Sparks, Tara Donovan, and Vivian Latham. Don't miss this compelling play that explores what happens when art and politics collide. Taking Sides runs Wednesdays through Sundays until November 12th. For tickets, call 805-667-2900, 667-2900, or go to RubiconTheater.org.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. And I do want to remind you that we have been here since 6 o'clock. We've got 2 hours. And of course, we love to give away stuff. And I've got some tickets to the Ventura Winter Wine Walk. And of course, that is happening December 2nd. And I'd love to share those tickets with you. So if that's not on your calendar, definitely get it on there and call us right now at 805-419-0008. Our next guest is Carlene Strange. Carlene, are you there?
I'm here, and I'm strange, but my name is not.
Strange.
Strange. Oh, that's so funny. Yep. I'm so
Stange.
Sorry that I said that. Thank
we
you.
We pronounce it stangy. It's German word. It's stange, meaning rod or post, but I say stangy.
Oh, gosh. That's really good. Okay. Gosh, I'm sorry about that, but thank you for helping me out there.
No problem.
You know, and it's a little hard for me to hear you. Are you talking in?
Am I here? Can you hear me okay?
It's a little faint. But
it's a little faint, yeah.
Huh.
Okay.
Well?
Oh, there's a little bit better. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay,
all right,
perfect.
Go,
now you came in. Okay.
Okay, good.
All right, and so tell us a little bit about yourself and, of course, your book, The Spiritual Nature of Animals.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was an ambulatory equine veterinarian, which means I drove a pickup truck around the dirt roads of La Plata County, Colorado for 30-some years. Still do, just got back. My truck's all muddy again. And I treat horses and llamas, alpacas, and small animals. Currently, I'm only practicing acupuncture, traditional Chinese veterinary medicine. But for many years, I did regular, standard Western medicine procedures, surgeries, and vaccines, and the whole nine yards. And, you know, veterinary medicine can be quite disturbing sometimes. It's pretty graphic and gory, and there's a lot of death, and it can be very upsetting. And I was having challenges with working very long hours and being very stressed out. And a couple of my clients got me thinking about the spiritual nature of animals. One was a Buddhist who hired me to help her old dog pass away without euthanasia. She had taken a vow to not kill and couldn't euthanize the dog, and she wanted it to die on its own. She wanted me to help it. And so I decided, let's stop giving it its prednisone medication that was keeping it alive, and it died overnight. Then shortly thereafter, I had a born-again Baptist woman hire me to euthanize her old horse, and she had told me when her horse that her husband had died several years before. And so when the horse died, I said, now the horse is with your husband. And she screeched at me, no, he's not. My husband is in heaven, and that horse is just dead. I said, well, where'd the energy go that was just there? She said, I don't know. It's just gone. And she started quoting Bible verses. So we got into a big, long discussion. And so I said, you know, the Buddhists thought the dog had to live out its karma in this life so it'd have a better incarnation in its next life. And it could have been a former Buddhist monk that reincarnated as a dog. And the Baptists thought the horse was just meat. And so I said to myself, well, which way is it? You know, what is the spiritual nature of animals? And so I set out to study it, and it just got more and more involved. And 20 years of researching all the major religious, spiritual, and scientific teachings about the non-physical aspect of animals. And that's what's in this book.
Very interesting. Now, have you always been kind of connected to animals?
Yeah, I mean, I knew I wanted to be a veterinarian from the time I was 7 years old. You know, I used to get stuffed animals, and I'd play doctor on them. You know, and everybody said, "I'm sorry, honey, you can't be a veterinarian. They don't let girls be veterinarians, right? You're not smart enough. You can't afford it. You know, all these things." Well, you know, then when I got into vet school, they said, "Yeah, you'd be a good horse doctor, but those old ranchers in Durango will never accept you." Well, the old ranchers were very polite. They said, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Mm. Sounds like you know what you're talking about, little lady.
Mm-hmm.
And one man even said, she's a darn sight better to look at than Harry. So
that's cute. Wow.
They were great, you know. So
yeah. And you know, how does animals' spiritual nature differ from that of humans?
It doesn't.
Oh,
I mean,
so you think?
We think we're better, okay, because we have egos. Now, let's just look at what the Bible says. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3:19, let me preface this, the argument that we have eternal spirits and animals don't is that only Adam received the breath of life from God at creation, and the animals supposedly didn't get this. But animals breathe, and they have life. So if God didn't give it to them, where did they get it? Well, the definitive verse came to me when I had a knock on the door. It was the Jehovah's Witness. I said, come on in, tell me. And they gave me this verse. There is an eventuality as respects the sons of mankind, and eventuality as respects the beasts. And they have the same eventuality. As the one dies, so the other dies. And they all have the same breath. And man has no advantage over the beast, for all is vanity. This is a sermon on vanity, and it reminds us in verse 3:18, that God is testing man to show him that we too are beasts.
Mm.
All right? We think we're better because we have this vain ego, but that's the one thing we have in superior amounts. But we don't have sonar like dolphins and bats. You know, we don't have the ability to smell miles away like a bear does, or see miles away like an eagle does. There's octopus. They can taste with their tentacles. They have chemoreceptors in their tentacles. They can shapeshift and change their color and texture. I mean, we're cool, but they are too. We're
right.
just different. We're not better.
That's interesting.
Yeah. It's so funny. I saw a picture. Well, it's on my Facebook page today, and it's these three dogs lined up, each one in front of a room at a children's hospital, and they do animal therapy.
Mm.
And these dogs, you can just tell, can't wait to get started. And I think that there's a really interesting connection between, you know, dogs. I think they know more than we do. They can tell when you're suffering, and it's amazing
right.
sometimes how human-like they are.
Oh, I totally. I know my dogs are just like they, you know, you could just tell when they're like nudged up to you and they can
mm-hmm.
feel your
pain.
They
sense it.
Yeah, they mm-hmm. sense it exactly. So
they sense our energy. There's a research project at the Swedish Agricultural University where they found that if a person leading or riding a horse has an increase in heart rate, the horse has an increase in heart rate. And a dog can tell if they like someone right now or not. They're barking at someone you don't know and they run off with someone you don't know. Right, because they're like, these people are great, and that guy's bad, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah, well, it's interesting, Mike, because I've got three dogs, and lately they've just been barking, barking, barking. I'm like, and my husband, my kids are like, oh, my gosh, we can't handle this. And I'm like, what is going on? What are you trying to tell me? What's happening, you know? Mm-hmm. And they're like, you're talking to your dogs? And I'm like, no, they don't do it normally. I mean, they bark when people walk in. But this is like a constant. They're always barking.
Well, it's not bad to talk to your dogs. It's bad if they answer back.
No, they always answer back.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
bad if you don't listen.
They talk back.
There you go.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. But what does that mean if you are in tune with, you know, what are they, why are they barking all the time?
Well, you could ask them, you know, and there may be something as simple as a ham radio operator and the high frequency is irritating their ears. They hear better than we do. They smell better than we do. They may smell an animal outside that you don't know about. There may be something going on. The Bible, again, going back to the Bible, there's the story of Balaam's ass in Numbers 22. Have you read that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the donkey, God puts an angel with a sword in the path of this prophet who's riding his donkey, and the prophet doesn't see it, but the ass does. And so, and shamans, Tibetan Buddhists, and this ancient Hebrew tale all agree that animals can see spirit realm better than humans can.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they have extra information about impending phenomena like earthquakes
yeah,
and tsunami.
That's
what I was kind of thinking, that, okay, is there going to be, you know, I hate to say it, you know, is there something happening that I don't know about, you know? And so that's kind of where I was going.
Yeah, there's a lot of examples of that, like cats will start jumping around on the walls and they know it's
right.
coming.
You yeah. might get an animal communicator because sometimes it's hard to hear your own animals because you're so
emotionally
involved.
Wait, so there's animal communicators. Are you one?
I took an animal communication apprenticeship for this book.
Mm-hmm.
For the purpose of understanding it. And before that, I was completely skeptical. I did not buy it. And boy, I changed my tune. Well, first of all, we communicate with them all the time. I mean, your dogs look at you and go, you know what that means, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, you got to go out. They're the human communicators.
Right.
And different people, it's just like human communication, human to human. Some people are better at it than others. You have to ask the right question. Like taking a medical history for a veterinary exam, one person, you know, if the husband and wife are in the same room, often the wife will give me different information than the husband, and they'll argue, no, he doesn't, yes, he does, you know, or they'll tell a different veterinarian a different thing because they ask different questions. So, you know, if a better communicator knows what to ask. I have practiced it, and it can be quite funny because the personality really comes through.
Hmm.
I remember talking to like a 2-year-old German Shepherd, and it's like, how are you? Fine. What did you do today? Nothing. You know, like a teenage boy or something, I'm okay.
That's interesting. And, you know, it's interesting. I've seen where if somebody's in the hospital and you bring their dog in, it's so comforting. Oh, there you go. That's a great picture. John's just showing me the picture of all the animals outside the hospital rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Or for seniors, you know, just having that animal, compassion and it just
they have people in comas. You bring the animal in, and it's like they sense the animal.
Yeah.
They know and they've responded to it, or they've done nothing with doctors and other people.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Without your brain working, you still feel things.
Yeah.
There's a book by Jill Bolte Taylor, my Stroke of Insight.
Mm.
And she talks about how she could see colors, but she couldn't make images, and she could hear sounds, but she couldn't make words out of it. But she could feel if a nurse came in the room and didn't really care and just wanted to get the job done, or if a nurse came in and cared.
Mm, I love that. Carlene Stange.
Stange.
Stange. Okay. Please tell us where we get your book.
You can order it from Amazon or Barnes & Noble online. You can also go to my website. There are links there. My website is Animas, A-N-I-M-A-S. Animas is the Latin root of the word animals. It means souls, breath, and life. My website is animasanimals.com.
I love it. All right. Well, thank you so much, Carlene, for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show. Please share our show with everyone. I'm very passionate about animals, and I love them, and I love when other people love their animals. You know, there's just something special about that.
They're wonderful, for sure.
You got it.
Thank you.
All right. We are at the end of our show. I want to make sure everybody go and have a great weekend. And, of course, you know, again, happy Veterans Day to everyone out there. Do something nice for yourself and someone else. And, of course, we end all of our shows with a moment of happiness. Talk to yourself once a day. Otherwise, you may miss having a conversation with one of the most important people in the world, which is you. Thank you, John.
Good.
Thank you, Tom. And thank you for all my listeners. I look forward to talking to you next week.